We're sitting down, we're hugging a little bit, and listening, connecting our hearts, more connecting the hearts, more hearts. Are you listening or are you speaking? And we want the words of Bala Sulam to enter the heart through that place that is clogged and has to open, please. Okay. Out of the writings of Bala Sulam, letter 8. You find in the poem, "You are more terrible than all terrors, prouder than all who are proud. You surround everything, fill everything." Interpretation: we see dreadful terrors and pains that are worse than death. Who is the one doing all that? This is his name. You are more terrible than all terrors. Who is removed from them? Also, we see many people, for generations, tormented themselves with afflictions and self-torments, all in order to find some rhyme in the reason, in the work of God, or to know who was the owner of the capital. Yet they have all wasted their lives in vain and left the world as they came, without finding any relief. Why did the Creator not answer all the prayers? Why was He so haughty over them, so unforgiving? And what is His name? Prouder than all who are proud. This is His name. But they who suffer the terrors and perceive that removed pride know for certain that the Creator is removed from them, although they do not know why He is removed. What do the poets say about it? They say that there is a sublime purpose for all that happens in this world, and it is called the drop of unification. When those dwellers of clay houses go through all those terrors, through all that totality in His pride, which is removed from them, events, poems, event open in the walls of their hearts, which are tightly sealed by nature of creation itself, and they become fit for instilling that drop of unification in their hearts, then they are inverted like an imprinted substance, and they will evidently see that it is to the contrary, that it was precisely in those dreadful terrors that they perceive the totality which is removed by foreign pride. There, and only there, is the Creator Himself clung, and there He can instill them with the drop of unification. This is what is written in the poem: you surround everything and fill everything. During the attainment, abundance is felt. It appears and sits precisely on all those contradictions. This is the meaning of more terrible than all terrors, prouder than all who are proud, and naturally fill everything. The part knew that he fills them abundantly, and none else perceived the pleasantness of unification with him until it seems to him that at the time of his wholeness, that the afflictions they had suffered had some merit to value the savor and pleasantness of unification with him. Then all who are empty fill up, and all the afflicted are bestowed upon, and there are neither an iron web nor spider web here. Rather, there are great glory here, and faithful love returning and coming back from the Creator to His creatures, and every place where He lays His eyes. his eyes heals. Happy is the ear that has never heard slander, and happy is the eye that has never seen a false thing. All that he curses is utterly cursed, and all that he blesses is utterly blessed. Everything that comes out of his mouth has neither doubt nor surplus in it. Rather, this is the thing which the Creator commanded cleave unto him. First question. What are those sufferings and well, this is what it says. And we see from the days of the world till this day, people who bitter their life in all kinds of pain and agony in order to find some pleasantness in the work of the Creator. What self-torments and afflictions are they talking about? Obviously, we're not talking about torments and afflictions that people are going through in this world. He's saying, we see how many people for generations have, from their own will, right, tormented themselves in all kinds of afflictions and self-torments. So probably there were people back then who on purpose went on the path of afflictions and self-torments in order to find some meaning in the work of the Creator. What kind of afflictions and self-torments, what is it? What is he talking about? Please. Our purpose from these workshops yesterday and today is to that our heart will feel that it's lacking volume, that it must expand, that we're lacking vessels of sensation. Let's go.
Maybe it speaks of afflictions and self-torments, where one thinks by himself he can reach bestowal and all his efforts are basically within his desire.
That those people thought that they can attain that quality of the Creator, that point of unity, not with connecting with their environment, not by the light working on them, but that they could do the actions themselves, that at the end they will reach that drop.
The same people tried to work directly in front of their desire to receive. They saw it bring them a bad feeling, then they tried to cancel it in all kind of ways, to suffer instead of working on the opposite direction, being longing for a bestowal.
Yeah, but working on the desire to receive, you discover that life is horrible. It's limited. There's no true pleasure. And when you have a desire for pleasure, and when you feel that you can't receive it in your regular vessels, you try to replace those vessels. And it has a feeling of self-torments, because I was used to using that desire to receive, and I'm swapping it out with something else.
They simply didn't turn. They didn't turn with a request. They wanted to make a correction by their own force.
That state in man where he doesn't understand that only the society, only the demand from society that will influence him and change him to be in a different point of relation that organizes this whole connection to the group, the Rav, the books, in order to demand the light to work on me. It's that state that we're complete, working in the opposite manner. And it's horrible.
Yes, seemingly it's all kind of actions a man is doing when he thinks that by himself, by the all this, he's proud, he can attain a certain correction, certain connection with the Creator, not out of coming to truly for the upper light to work on him and change him.
There's no, you don't need to say, I'm continuing to friend. He's saying, and now you're saying, and that's it. Not that we're, I'm continuing to friend. It's not, don't say that.
It seems like, if you think about it, it seems like a very natural action, because I connect with a desire to receive in all kind of forms. I see eventually it brings me the bad, and if I stop using it, it will bring me good. And indeed, when you stop using it, there's kind of a goodness, some pride that increases, but that isn't the direction.
Yeah, those torments, is it brings him to despair and frustration, that he has nowhere to go, no place to move, that wherever he turns there's a wall that's blocking him, and everything that's left is to just collapse.
And he begins to create his own rules and ascribe to it kind of a spiritual prophet, start limiting himself, restricting himself, giving up things which have nothing to do with spirituality.
And reach a state that, a feeling that you're in those self-torments and you're making your life bitter on purpose, and it's a state that's going to happen for sure. You just didn't prepare your environment in advance that you'll be able to justify the Creator and know what the meaning of all this is, so you can keep in contact above all this feelings.
So that in all those actions called afflictions and torments, we're searching for flavor, taste for one own self.
Why are those afflictions and self-torments? Why didn't they give him the correct answers? It says, and they all wasted their life and left the world the same as they came. Why?
Afflictions and sufferings can never give us the answer. Just as we can fall into this trap with anything. Say, if something doesn't work out, we try to use extra force, money, things, but it's acting from within the desire to receive, and we'll never manage to receive a reply.
If you sow seeds for nothing, you can just take an example of a drop of seed or a seed you have to put in the ground, or sperm. If you put it in nothing, so nothing will develop. You need a ground, environment. So if you do all your actions in the wrong environment, not one that helps you develop, you have no way to advance.
Because they wanted to correct themselves, and only themselves, and they expected to receive the Creator within them.
Yet they built some kind of opposite of what they had in their self-feeling in that moment, instead of developing the vessels with the environment and feeling in them. They preferred to, it's a point that a man prefers just a different form of his desire, and doesn't feel that it doesn't include that freedom of choice, that free place that's above the feeling of his vessel of reception.
It is felt as if they're lacking kind of a discernment, some kind of understanding, maybe the most basic, although they're doing many actions, etc., that all the work they're doing is precisely in inverting the vessel to be a vessel of bestowal. And to the contrary, they're using all that only in order to suck in for themselves. Something very rudimental in their discernment is lacking.
Because they took their desire to receive and use it opposite, they annulled it. Instead of using it as a source for rejection and keep climbing, so they canceled that rejection. And we know if we cancel our rejection, well, we won't develop.
They won't connect to the source. They won't connect to the point of beginning of everything, where everything starts from. They are trying everything, but connecting to that point of the light. And it is accompanied by much pain. If one doesn't attain in ordinary life, you remain to turn it. If I search for life, pleasure in my life.
But still, they demand it, it says. And why didn't the Creator answer them on their prayers? Why specifically they were in pride against Him, in some kind of pride, specifically towards them, that they went for those torments? Why is that form of torments not accepted in the Creator? And He doesn't answer a person if he's in troubles, problems, in feeling of a bad life, and praying through them towards Dvikut.
There's no greater pride than that. There's no opposite form of subjugation more than that. For each and every affliction, they have calculation and direct demand from the Creator, and all their demand is only for themselves.
They're not justifying.
The answer is written further up, proud, prouder than all proud. What is this? What does it mean?
It's that feeling that here I'm ready to suffer, just give me an answer for it. I'm willing to suffer if you promise me that I'll get something good in the end. And if not, we're doing it for nothing.
Prouder than all pride is seemingly the more a person make actions, more and more he's taking pride of it, as if he simply sucks everything and is for himself, and there's no understanding that all that he does, he wants to bestow contentment upon the upper one. He wants to bring a vessel upon which will come the light that will correct, rather he uses it in an opposite manner. So the more he's proud, the Creator is proud over him and show him exactly, give him exactly the opposite to what he imagined he wants.
Their action goes completely against the Creator's will, because specifically they know the reasons and they're going on the opposite direction instead of asking why. That it can be an action the Creator wants, so they already know why and they take it upon themselves, the result.
It sounds like a system, meaning it's not like a character that is out there on a cloud, and the moment someone is proud here, then it inflates and take greater pride. It's like an analog system. The moment you move something in a certain manner, the system responds to you in a direct manner, meaning you're proud, the system responds with pride.
What's the connection between the feeling of mortifications and pride? What's the feeling of the feeling of suffering and pride?
I deserve it. That's the connection. I deserve the sufferings and the pride.
How does it happen that by taking away the pride, I stop feeling the suffering?
Okay.
All sensations of suffering is due to the sensation of I deserve it, due to pride. When I remove the pride and understand that, why do I even deserve it? Versus what I really demand if I want bestowal, then what do I deserve? Then any sufferings can go through him, but God is in the delighted in mercy.
There is no measurement. If there's no pride, we don't measure as much as I'm really investing.
Rav, it's like in spiritual, in corporality. Rav says, well, heal yourself, right? Relax yourself. And then you won't feel the pinching of the needle, the stubbing, or in the massage. They say, oh, relax, then you won't feel the pain. So accordingly, the same. Come out of your pride and you won't feel the sufferings anymore, the torments. Try it. Demonstrate that.
When man swells up and wants to the Creator, the upper light, for his own benefit, so he doesn't. Well, it's the contrary of annulment. That by annulment, man lets the light work on him and soften him and correct him, purify him slowly. And when he uses, even if he does actions that are supposedly towards attaining the Creator, but by pride, he's just making a blockage. He's inviting light to work on him in the opposite way. And it's an advancement through the path of pain.
So a person doesn't succeed in something, and they think it's him who doesn't succeed. Then he tries to do all kinds of actions. He's taking upon himself, now I'll do this and this and that. And it comes through pride, due to pride, because he thinks it's due to him. And the moment he removes himself from the equation and tries to see why it comes to him, then he understands he wasn't right. He had something in him wrong, in his approach. And then he changes it, basically, and then it's much easier for him.
Then he understands it's not that he had anything wrong in his relation, but he had to just let go, give himself to the system, and instead of being so contracted, just relax and not solve things in the old way, but in the new way, that a new kind of effort. It's like you can't make efforts in going to sleep. You just have to relax and lay down and fall asleep. It's not like, I'm going to go to sleep now. So the moment you fall asleep is when you give up. It's the new reality that you're changing the laws. You're just relaxed from all the worlds of this world.
And this letting go indeed is the change of direction when one tries to open himself up instead of stop looking constantly and digging within oneself. Where would it be revealed within me? Starting to understand that it reveals through an aid system, support system called the group, where all your attention actually should be focused there.
Pride is the intention on my actions. It's the form that I'm clothing upon my actions, that he doesn't let the Creator clothe in him and give him the correct intention. He's blocking him. He's saying that I want my actions to be realized.
The moment he bring his self in, then he basically created a blockage, it blocks the light.
What does it mean that we're saying that his pride is gone from them, those ones that are going through those stages? What is his pride that is removed from them? What kind of pride do we relate to him? Pride overall, proud. What kind of pride do they have? What kind of pride does the Creator have? That his pride is removed from them. Try and widen your heart. Find an answer.
All the pride within the system coming from our side, from his side, it's all lack of balance. Pride is cancelled the moment there's balance and everyone recognizes his role in the system of that same looseness that comes from the creatures and the ability to bestow. That is always there, come from the part of the Creator, on behalf of the Creator. The system is not aware of it, rather, I'm aware of it.
The pride is the lack of equivalence of form. It's causing the concealment. That is called that the Creator is proud over who's opposite of him. That man's choice can make him either equivalent to the Creator or proud over him. That he's demanding from him, but then different from him.
Also, this removed pride is something the creature feeling himself. The person feeling himself, he feels that the fact the Creator is good, that does good, isn't with him in his sensation. And it isn't there because it doesn't understand why suddenly you're moved from the friends, suddenly see them as not important, and he doesn't understand the Creator arranges it for him so that he will have this longing to be with the friends, to cleave on to them, and through them to cleave on to Av, and through him cleave on to the Creator himself. Simply doesn't feel that circuit that the Creator prepared for him as a present.
Well, from above, can't get an answer, and man won't reach contact until he doesn't put efforts in special efforts to really reach the equivalence of form to the light in a way that the light will really work on him. And as long as those efforts aren't done, like we learn in the connection between us and the group, through our actions in the environment that is mainly expressed in annulment and subjugation, so we're not actually making a vessel that the light can work on.
Love. The opening is open in the walls of the heart when a person cope with his pride versus the pride of the Creator, right? And feel that his pride is removed from the person, and when nevertheless he goes through all these terrible things, at the end of all these torments, the opening is open up, and then the drop of unification begin to enter, meaning the same heart that expand, the same heart that felt all those actions, all these desires that have been through this processing, they begin to feel contact with the Creator, and this drop enters and expand throughout the entire heart.
So how, from the sensation of the removed pride for the Creator in man, one attains, reaches the opening of the heart and the entry of the drop of unification. Try, it's good. It's a child that is trying and doesn't work out, but he's sweating and doesn't let go from himself. Go ahead.
I think that through the created being being pride and then the Creator being prouder, once the created being gets to despair, he just gives up, and then the light can work on him.
It's like the effort we're doing in this circle when we're trying each and every one by himself to answer the question, and we discover that kind of stagnation and kind of a difficulty. And when we're letting go and trying to unite, then we allow this drop to enter, and because we're preparing the right vessel, we prepare the humbleness it searches for instead of this pride that blocks.
Well, getting rid of the pride is the same thing as opening your heart, that it only comes by, like the state that we're talking about right now in this passage, it's just like mercy from above, that still and somewhat the light shines on him and opens that perception that he was always making a mistake and walking in the wrong direction.
It's really felt that it depends upon one's efforts in the love of friends, to what extent he inverts the friends to be the only thing that important in his life, how much he simply belonged to them to do whatever they want in him, whichever way they want, and that dependency he developed willingly. This dependency allow him only to wait till this drop of unity would be realized, because it happens usually within the depth. It's like taking glass out of one's eye. You need to tear it till it happens. And if he's willing to go through the sufferings on that path because he's dependent upon the friends, then it would work.
Man needs to go through a lot of tests that come against his ego, that come upon all the efforts he's doing over the concealments, that upon them he wants to discover even more greatness and cling on to the upper one. And see that he's good and benevolent. And above all of that, man reaches like a lust, a longing that has no answer. And then, through that, he truly reaches that demand, that the correction will be made on him.
Rav, what does it mean, and they inverted as a imprint matter, as the matter of the imprint? They inverted as the imprinted substance. What does it mean that this inversion?
Well, they became from something hard to something soft.
As if allow the Creator to imprint himself in them, like this ring, as they always were in the movies, this ring with a wax, that the wax is warm. So when the heart will warm up, the Creator can come and imprint its form inside this warm, gooey heart, a soft heart.
When they understood that they depend on their connection with the environment and their dependence and they let them bestow onto them and receive the form of the environment on themselves and not decide their form in the society.
It is that sensation that there's no one state, rather, there's always a state with respect to his goal, a state. One state with respect to the other, not only feeling the distance and sufferings, rather indeed feeling also the purpose of it all, where it's supposed to come to and through what and for whom.
It feels like something that against all of the concealments that man puts more efforts to subjugate himself towards the environment, to annul towards the environment, and just raise the greatness of the goal upon the hard, difficult states and the weakness, and later on becomes, I don't know, is upon these things the light comes and settles, the correction comes.
And the inverted, meaning initially it's like a stiff substance, rigid substance that is not willing to change. Later on it receives that imprint of the environment, becomes like the environment.
It says that while attaining, the abundance appears and settles on all those opposite parts. What does it mean? Rav is speaking, that the abundance is revealed and settles upon all those inversions. What are those inversions? What has to be those opposites here that are revealed as a subject for that abundance, that vessel? Please.
What comes to mind is really like a print and imprint, where it's the matter or this wax, and the moment it softens up and changes its intention, it's there for itself, rather to open up and warm up through the environment, through this friction with the others. It allows the Creator to immerse in Him and insert this desire. This form on the desire to receive.
That's the difference between the subjugation and the demand. That first he had only a demand and a receiving, and when he finally understood that the demand is good, but he just wants to add the correct intention, which is expressed in subjugation.
The opposites are all the vessels that are outside of my vessel of reception. When I start to look at the friends, at their desires, their longing, and to be within the friends about their longing for the goal, and there it begins to fill up. It's not that my vessel of reception changed something in it, rather it begins to add on to it the sensation of all that is around and all who is outside of me.
Man can invert himself from the state he's in and reach equivalence of form with that picture of bestowal. The Creator constantly has to distance from him. The more man tries to get closer, the Creator moves away and away and lowers him to a state where he really brings him to kentnut, he humiliates him. And when we try to look for the happiness and try to that we're in the state of gadlut, even though we're going through those states, that the Creator is constantly distancing himself. So upon those efforts, he finally...
Love. Friends, we are going back to our places.